Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June the 1st. First on today's episode, a Kent mum has started a petition in a bid to save services that support her severely disabled son. Kit Slesser-Paveley suffered a seizure when he was just 18 months old. It's left him with epilepsy, partial blindness and life-changing brain damage. Now, the six-year-old has home visits from staff at the hospice in the Weald, but they're due to be cut. Mum Kaz has been telling me what they do for her and her son.
They can do all of Kit's medication, so I can leave him to them and they will look after him, which is phenomenal. They will do craft with him, they'll massage him, they'll bath him because he's a 2-to-1 to bath. So I can't just do it myself, especially with a younger brother running around as well. So they can come in and do that. And they're there to talk to, and then they do these amazing inclusive parties. And if you don't have a child with disabilities, you won't understand, but everywhere that says it's inclusive really isn't. And this is a party for disabled children. So everything is on his level. Everything is all of the senses. Nothing's too loud. It's just brilliant. So we do Christmas parties there, summer parties there, and we get to meet all the other families. And that's just such an essential lifeline because they know what's going on for us. They understand how difficult it is. And, you know, you get tidbits of information. Oh, did you know this company is doing this grant for wheelchairs? No, I didn't. Great. So you can go and talk to them about that. And, you know, the siblings can play with each other and say what's going on for them. And it's just wonderful. And to lose that service is just devastating. I just cried. We got the email and I just couldn't stop crying. And I was crying for what Kit's going to lose, what I'm going to lose, and for the staff as well, because they're a small team and we know everyone and they're lovely and they put so much time and effort into these children because they know what a vital service is. And then that's going to be taken away. And so, yeah, I just really felt I'm going to do a petition. I don't know what it will do. I don't know how that works. But hopefully it will push the cause forward and maybe make the hospice rethink things, maybe make Kent County Council offer some more support. Something like that would be really helpful.
You said they're a lifeline. It really does sound like what they provide helps you so much. Because I'm guessing, I mean, you can explain for me, it would be quite isolating if you didn't have those people to speak to. I'm guessing that would be quite a strain on you as a family.
Sometimes they're the only adults I see in the day. And you're like, they're going to be here soon. Only another hour and then they'll be here. And, you know, they're just so warm and friendly and they bring a whole kit of stuff with them. Books and crafts and everything like that I, you know, with the best will in the world, I can't get all of that stuff out and sort it all out for them. And they make Mother's Day cards for us and it's just endless.
They say that fundraising just hasn't kept up with the demands on the service. I mean, it's just such an awful situation, isn't it, for so many charitable organisations at the moment. I guess just being hit by the impacts of the cost of living crisis. I mean, would you like to see some kind of benefactor come in and help them out?
I mean, obviously we would. A lot of money is given to hospice charities, but so much more is given by them to the community. You know, you have the adult hospice care, you have this children's service, and just we need more people to donate, which I fully understand is hard. We're in that position as well. And if anyone can give something, that would be great. But the government and the local councils need to step in as well, because these are all services that are not provided by the NHS. And, you know, my child is, you know, complex, but he's in there. He communicates, he laughs, and he loves it when they come round. And he deserves to have that as much as any other child does. But he can only get that through these charities. And with, you know, the funding being cut from donations, more is being spent on wages and things like that, they're just stuck in this difficult place.
Now, bosses say fundraising hasn't kept up with rising costs and 10 jobs are at risk. Kaz has set up a petition. We've got a link to it within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Chatham man who was disqualified from driving when he crashed his friend's pickup truck into a parked van has been given another ban. A court heard Jason Catt had taken the keys to the Ford Ranger without permission when it happened in January. The 53-year-old from Tobruk Way has been told he can't get behind the wheel for 12 months. And you can see video footage of the moment the collision happened at Kent Online. A well-known thief has been back in court after stealing expensive earbuds from a supermarket in Sheerness. Scott Mitchell has at least 50 convictions for theft and took the tech from Tesco in the town, despite being banned from the store. The 31-year-old, who hasn't got a permanent address, was recalled to prison after pleading guilty. Five people have been rescued by a Coast Guard helicopter after getting into difficulty in the River Medway. Some of them had to be winched from the water when a speedboat suffered engine failure at Riverside Country Park in Raynham yesterday. They're all said to be safe and well. Now, at the time of recording today's podcast, around 4,000 homes in Kent were still experiencing problems with their water supply. Low pressure and intermittent supply has been impacting South East Water customers for over a week now. The company has blamed it all on high demand during the recent hot weather. Now, Whitstable was one of the worst affected areas during half term, and residents decided to head to the beach for a dip in the sea. After being unable to wash at home, Mum Caroline Wade arranged the protest.
Water is not a luxury, it's an essential item, and it's actually a health and safety risk at the moment in this heat. And it's incredible in modern day Britain that we're having to live like this. You know, change needs to come, and we need the government to listen now and do something. I just want to be able to turn my tap on for water to come out. I want to pay a fair price for that water, and I want to be able to go in the sea and not worry about my child getting ill from sewage. So we don't want more of this. We want accountability and we want action now.
And these people joined her along with their rubber ducks and shower caps.
If this is happening now in the first hot week of the summer, what does that mean for the rest of the summer? What does that mean for summers to come? Is this going to be the new norm?
Just in shocks, really. Even the flushing the toilet was a celebration this morning. Which shouldn't be, really.
So it's hard, knowing that we might not be able to be in school over, obviously, not having water. People don't realise the impacts of just not having water can impact so many businesses, obviously school education, qualifications, everything.
This is just so frustrating and so debilitating, and it makes you feel, like, worthless. Like our lives don't really matter because we can't function.
Now, South East Water have apologised for all the disruption and are still urging all of us to only use water for essential purposes. At this moment of recording, there are currently 12 parts of the county where there are still issues.
Kent Online reports.
A former Kent Conservative MP who was jailed for sexual assault has now filed for bankruptcy and is working as a builder. Charlie Elphick represented Dover before being locked up for attacks on two women in 2020. He's forfeited control of his assets and insolvency proceedings are underway. A decision should be made this summer on how much money is going to be spent on doing up a dilapidated swimming pool in Hythe. This is actually one of our most read stories on the website today. The current building has been branded a ticking time bomb as major repairs are needed. £6 million was set aside for the project in the local council's draft budget, but a scrutiny committee is mostly in favour of a more expensive option. Proposals for Kent's largest ever solar farm have taken a step forward. Two companies want to install panels on 1,600 acres of land on Romney Marsh. Developers have now revealed a second consultation is underway as they confirm they intend to seek development consent. Now, a group that was set up 30 years ago to help people in Medway with asthma say they're facing an uncertain future. MASH had to stop running regular clinics as the building they were in needed repairs, but that's led to some of their NHS funding being pulled. At the time, they had a six-month waiting list where they're keen to restart a regular clinic and have set up an emergency fundraiser. I've been speaking to Bridget Nightingale, who's a trustee and co-founder.
The current situation is that we were getting, ever since we started, a certain amount from, it started off with West Kent Health Authority a long time ago, and then it went to the Primary Care Trust, and then it went to CCG and now it's MCH. And because we'd had to stop our clinic because the premises needed upgrading, and we also needed to register with Care Quality Commission, we had to put the clinic on hold. So the funding was pulled from us. Now, we do have a certain amount of funding that we get from elsewhere, so we have enough to keep going, but not fully. So, and at the point of when we stopped the clinic, we had a 6-month waiting list of people wanting to come to us, either referred from the GPs or self-referral. So we knew that even after 30 years, there's still a big need out there for people with asthma who need extra help, or GPs who'd like support as well, because they're pretty stretched at the moment and they can't manage everything.
Goodness, that's an awful lot of people then wanting to see you guys. What's the situation with the clinic at the moment? Have you been able to get back into that facility, or is that still on hold?
That's on hold because we have applied for Care Quality Commission to carry on with the clinic. We've got a temporary premises to do it that's already Care Quality Commission approved. So we're not sure how long the process will take. But in the meantime, we are affiliated with Asthma and Lung UK, and we have started a 2-monthly talk and support group where we have speakers and an opportunity for, because there's still a big need out there for people to talk through their problems and understand the basics of how to manage their asthma.
Yeah, tell me a bit about the work then over the past 30 years that you have been able to do, and that sort of, as you say, the support and advice that you give to people. How important is that?
Well, I think it's essential because, I did it myself as a asthma specialist nurse, an allergy specialist nurse to start with, and then we had another nurse who left when she retired, and then we had another one who sadly she had to stop as well. So it's been essential really to have somebody qualified that you can, if it's not just information they want, they can actually go and see a qualified asthma nurse. And sometimes they're very confused because they've heard lots of different things from different people, and they're really unsure of how to manage their asthma. And we've had people who are just desperate because they're just so worried. I mean, I think when I started it, I don't have asthma myself. I have some allergies, but I don't have asthma. But I think to not be able to breathe is one of the essentials of life, isn't it? And also when you hear, I mean, one of the very sad things happened in Sheppey, I think it was probably about 15 years ago, we heard of a 10-year-old boy who hadn't been able to get an inhaler because he needed an asthma check and he had to wait for his asthma check. He went to play football and had a bad asthma attack and died. And they actually set up a group in Sheppey, and then they amalgamated with us to give us some funding. And it's kind of stories like that that you feel you feel desperate to want to help people.
Kent Online reports.
A restaurant in Deal hit by a fire on New Year's Day will reopen this summer. The courtyard was damaged following the blaze, believed to have been caused by an electrical fault in a tumble dryer. Repairs have been ongoing ever since. It'll welcome customers back on July the 1st. Bakers selling cakes from unmanned sheds outside their homes in part of Kent have been told they might need a council licence to keep them open. A number have been popping up, but now authority bosses in Maidstone have suggested a street trading licence could be required. They've told us each case will be considered individually. Next, and it's hoped young people will be able to learn more about politics as a new summer school gets underway in Thanet. MP Polly Billington is setting up a programme to inspire the next generation of leaders. It's going to take place in July for people aged between 18 and 24. The East Thanet rep has been speaking to Lucy.
I thought it was really important that young people in Thanet have an opportunity to understand how power works and how decisions are made and what skills that they can develop in order to be able to be part of that conversation. The national conversation at the moment is really divided, and sometimes it can make people feel really powerless. And I do don't think you do need to be powerless, but you do need to understand how it works in order to be able to make it work for you. And also for your community, because, I'm a member of the Labour Party for a reason. I believe we achieve more together than we do alone. I think we need to be able to work for the many, not the few. And I want to be able to make sure that people have an opportunity to work together to achieve things that will benefit the community. And that's really the reason why I thought it was important to offer the opportunity to a small number of young people in Thanet to learn those skills and to get together to work out what they would like to do to change the place.
Is it particularly important somewhere like Thanet, that's often seen as a bit more of a disadvantaged area, to kind of give those people a voice and say, politics is for you as well?
Well, I know that a lot of politics is about understanding how power works and understanding and knowing the people who are making those decisions. And I know that, you might have only 90 minutes to London, but that can feel a very long way away if you can't afford it and you don't know what how it works at the other end. So a lot of decisions are made locally. Understanding how those decisions are made locally and understanding where those decisions are made and how you can influence them is really important. When you are that you're more likely to end up at the wrong end of political decisions if you're not part of the conversation. And that isn't just your fault. That's also because the system is designed sometimes to keep people out. I want to break those barriers down so that people don't have those barriers in their way and they are able to speak up for themselves and for their communities and to be able to shape it in a way that they would really like the country to be.
And how great would it be for you if someone from that politics summer school ended up going into a career of politics and was sort of inspired by it and thought, yeah, I'm going to take up this cause?
Well, it's always exciting when somebody decides that they would like to do what you do because it makes you sort of validates your own life choices. But I think the most important thing is that Thanet has been overlooked for far too long, and particularly including the young people in Thanet and in coastal communities across the country. And I really want to make sure that they have a voice. I can speak up for them on their behalf in Westminster, but I don't have the same experience as young people do in Thanet now, and therefore it would be even more important for their voices to be heard and listened to, and for them to understand how they might be able to make not just their voices heard, but for actions to genuinely make a change.
Plans for an amphitheatre inside the keep of a Kent castle have been scuppered by nesting bats. Canterbury Castle is due to reopen later this year for the first time in almost a decade. The council's hoping renovation work will be completed over the summer. Visitors will be able to use AR binoculars to see how the original building would have looked. And the story of a bear's journey back to health at a Kent wildlife park will be told in a new documentary. Bocky from Wildwood near Herne Bay underwent a 5-hour operation after suffering from seizures and problems with his vision. It's available to watch on their YouTube channel.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket first up, and Kent have returned to winning ways in the T20 Blast. They beat Surrey by 8 wickets at the Oval after bowling the hosts out for just 116. It follows the Spitfires' defeat to Essex on Friday night. And in football, former Gillingham striker John Akinde is returning to Kent. He's signed for newly promoted National League Southside Folkestone Invicta. The 36-year-old left the Gills in 2022 and recently played for Braintree and Colchester United. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.